Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Press for September 20th, 2022. I'm Ryan Ballinger. Great to have you here with us. We're going to go through the card today. We didn't go through it yesterday. And in candor, I'm still trying to kind of figure out this format a little bit. Obviously, the early part of the week kind of writes itself, right? I mean, Monday, Tuesday, we talk about lines. Wednesday, we set cards. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, big set of question marks, right? Especially because of the global golf schedule. Last week, we had the Italian Open, and we did live betting on Friday to kind of give you a sense of maybe what we're thinking about for the weekend. Almost got there with Kurt Kitayama at a 50-1 shot at the Italian Open. Would have been a great hit. And then we had some decent looks on other bets, including on Hannah Green to win in Portland on the LPGA. We didn't take Max Homa at 10-1 to win the PGA Tour season debut at the Fortinet Championship. That would have been a nice hit, but there's just no way I was taking Max Homa at 10-1, even with how great he's been playing in the last year or so from winning the Fortinet in 2021. So still trying to kind of figure out what the format's going to look like on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I mean, Sunday kind of writes itself. Let's look for some last-ditch shots to try to maybe get a little bit of value. Friday makes sense, obviously, because of the European Tour getting toward their second round. That's still kind of open business by the time we post in the mornings here in the Eastern time zone of the United States. But trying to figure out the kind of Thursday, Saturday, really those 4 days is kind of tricky just knowing the global golf schedule. So we're going to work on it. There might be maybe one show in the middle of a tournament week. Maybe it's a Thursday, maybe it's a Friday, where we kind of talk strategy. We're talking things to learn, things to look out for, maybe interesting pieces of data heading into a tournament, something like that. That might be Thursday. It's kind of like day to day, not day to day, day to day. And then we'll have Friday as kind of thinking about live bet, cut day. Saturday, maybe we come back and do something a little bit more casual along the lines of thinking about what longer term bets, you know, what we're looking for and perhaps the major championships or things of that nature. We're still trying to figure it all out. Love to hear your ideas. Thank you so much for the feedback. It's been really nice to hear it. But we'll continue to kind of work things out as we go here. So we have a pretty full slate this week in candor. We've got the Walmart Northwest Arkansas Championship on the LPGA. That's, as you might imagine, in Arkansas. We've got the Pure Insurance Championship, which is at Pebble Beach. It's kind of their version of the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. That's, again, at Pebble Beach in California. Couple course rotation for that. And they play with kids associated with the first tee. It's a nice thing. And then the Kazoo French Open or Kazoo Open Day France, depending on how you want to talk about it. And then the most watched thing this week is going to be the President's Cup. And we'll maybe save the President's Cup for the back end of this. Because one, I don't think it's going to be that much fun to bet in some instances. In some ways, it could be a great lottery ticket situation. And then you've got the Open Day France, which has some difficulty in betting as well because they haven't played the tournament since 2019. The pandemic caught this tournament in 2020, supposed to be in the fall. That went away. Then they were supposed to have it last year. That went away. So now it's back. So we haven't had this tournament in effectively 3 years. And golf has changed in 3 years. The venue obviously hasn't. Lake Golf National hasn't. But handicapping this tournament is difficult for a variety of reasons, mainly the amount of time that has passed by and the makeup of the tour since then. So thinking about that, digging into what we have here this week, you had Patrick Reed starting the week yesterday at like 11-1 on DraftKings. He's now 16-1, bet down. And that's a lot. I mean, that's a big move for a favorite to go from 11-1 to 16-1. People are not feeling Patrick Reed. And I think the reason they're not feeling Patrick Reed is because he has been so unpredictable. And this is not just related to him competing on LIV. He's just been unpredictable the last couple of years. And really, he has been a streaky player his entire life, except for maybe a few stretches here and there in, you know, what, 17 and 18? I mean, 19 for a little bit. Other than that, no, he's been very hard to predict. So to make him a favorite at 11-1, even in a tournament like this where there's a relatively weak field, I think was a mistake by the books initially. Now you can get him at 16-1. If you think he's going to win this tournament, I've got news for you. He's not winning this tournament. He played awful here in the Ryder Cup when it was staged here. Now there were different circumstances surrounding that. The whole team stunk. It was a bad experience. but you can't help but think that's in your head. Second, you have to think about Patrick Reed, and he spoke about this. So I believe Sean Zak at golf.com after the live event in Illinois, that he can't even access the player portal for the DP World Tour. He says the password doesn't work or something like that. And I think he's trying to insinuate that the DP World Tour has locked him out in some kind of version of pettiness, and maybe they have. He may also just forget his password, but either way, he's probably bothered by the experience and he's still going to the tournament. There's no good vibes here. There's no reason to suggest that Patrick Reed is going to win this week. So leave him out of it. Get him out of there. Your favorite, co-favorite now is Thomas Peters at 16-1. He is the highest ranked player in this field, 38th in the world going into the week. I don't know how it shook out after after all the events were finished for the week. But he does have a T13 here in the prior 3 years in which this tournament was staged, 19, 18, and 17. But, you know, okay, that's fine. Highest ranked player, you're going to get the best billing. But then you kind of start to look down a little bit more, and I think you can find some pretty decent value in this field this week. Victor Perez finished third last week in Italy, 20-1 here. Frenchman could be a really cool story. Jordan Smith is one of the better players on the tour this year, along with Bob McIntyre, who just won last week. He's not one of the better players performance-wise, but just won last week. 22-1 each. Adrian Meronk, 28-1. Ryan Fox is a really interesting play this week at 30-1. He has a sixth place finish here in recent memory. He seems to like this golf course. I think he also seems particularly motivated this week. I know it's hard to handicap motivation, but it bothered the heck out of him, and he spoke about it after he didn't get into the International President's Cup team from Trevor Immelman. And if I'm being honest with you, I don't think Trevor Immelman even thought about Ryan Fox because he's not a regular PGA Tour player. He wasn't trying to bring that guy on. So I think that's a little bit of a slap in the face. He may have some proper motivation this week. But there are some names, again, beyond 30-1 that I think are quite interesting. Adrian Ategui is right at the top of my list. He has a T7 and a T12 here going back to those events from 17 through 19. Two of the three events, he was in the top 12 or better. I like that. Playing pretty well overall. I mean, he is kind of hard to love from week to week. But I don't think he's hard to like this week because of the nature of the field and who's up top. He's not that far from the top. You're still getting a decent number. He was T25 last week in the Italian Open, T13 in the BMW PGA, and then T3 in his start before that. I mean, he's playing good golf. At 35-1, I feel like he's an auto fire. I know he doesn't win very much, but 35-1 seems pretty reasonable. And plus 350 on a top 10, plus 700 on a top 5. That almost feels like an auto bet. Like you have to go after him this week at that number. The next guy I think you have to look at is Alexander Bjork. He has also a very good record in this tournament. He was T34 last week. I think you can see some similarities between Marco Simone and Le Golf National. They get tight in spots. I think Marco Simone's a little bit more open, not quite as intimidating, in particularly on approach play, but it still has some intimidation factor to it. So that could be an encouraging sign. Did miss the cut at Wentworth. T18 at the Made in Denmark, and then T16 in the Omega European Masters. Again, you're getting a good number on a guy who has a good track record in this tournament. If you look at, again, the last three times that this was played, 17 through 19, T3 and a T8, good finishes, likes this golf course, good number, auto bet. There's no reason not to. Then you start to go down a little bit deeper, and we're just, again, just trying to find guys to like, kind of more or less based on past record. But, you know, you want to throw in some decent form as well, and you're not going to find that throughout this field. But Marcus Kinalt could be interesting. Again, another Swede. He's missed the cut in the Italian Open, the BMW PGA, was T23 in Switzerland at the Omega European Masters, and T23 at the Czech Masters. So not the best finishes of late, but he does have a good track record in this tournament. A little bit of an older, wiser player, T11, T5. And you're getting a good number on him. You're getting plus 6,500 on him. In this tournament. Again, one of the few players that are in this field that have multiple top 15s going back to the last three times this tournament was played. I think that's a winning formula just this week. I think that's where you're going to feel comfortable and you're going to feel like you have a chance. I think Ben Coley threw out Andy Sullivan as a really interesting long shot this week, but he has been bet up a little bit, plus 4,000. I think he opened much deeper than that, but I could be wrong. Interesting wager as well. He's playing okay. Richard Mansell, I continue to like. He continues to sit at this 40-1 number, and I continue to wait for him to break through. Maybe that's not going to happen. Maybe I'm just getting kind of stuck in my ways on that. But I think those are numbers really worth looking at. I think Bjork and Otegi are your auto bets. You almost have to touch them. And then I think Victor Perez is probably worth a look in Ryan Fox. So that's probably my four I will go with this week. I will refine that for tomorrow, and then we'll talk about first-round leader bets for tomorrow as well. But those are the guys I'm thinking about right now in terms of to win the Open de France. Let's go over to the LPGA real quick, the Arkansas Championship. This tournament has a great field. I mean, it's basically a major light field. 35 of the world top 50 are competing this week. It's a three-round tournament. You have to keep that in mind. It's a shootout tournament. So it's a little bit different. You're not getting four rounds. You've got to get your... You've got till Friday, so that's good news. But you've got to get these plays in and do it, you know, knowing that there you don't have that extra round to kind of maybe, A, get you, because in the last two LPGA tournaments, we've had basically shootouts the final day with a stacked leaderboard, and then just a player winds up coming out. Allie Ewing shot 66 in the final round in Cincinnati and won. Same thing happened with Andrea Lee, who had already won on the Epson Tour this year, had kind of weird status on the LPGA because everything got reset in the COVID year and nothing really counted, so she kind of lost the status she would have otherwise earned. Now she's got it with the win that she got last week in Portland, which is great for her. But that's an absolute distinct possibility here that you could get into a shootout situation with a stacked leaderboard going in the final day, even more so in a three-round tournament. We have seen that with LIV. It is kind of hard to predict. So keeping that all in mind, Lydia Ko is the outright favorite, 9-1. Nelly Korda, 10-1. Then you got Nasa Hatooka, who is a two-time winner of this event. She's 14-1. I think that's your first play if you're going to think about a favorite. You got to go with Nasa because she just plays this tournament well. She's won it twice. If you look at the last 5 years, she's won it twice. So, and she shoots low scores on this golf course. You have to be able to take it deep on this golf course. In her two wins, 64, 65, 63, 65, 65, 67. She's smoking it. She's crushing it. Likes this golf course. I think she's an auto play this week, even though that's not necessarily the best value, and I don't necessarily love playing favorites, but I would take her over Lydia Ko and Nelly Korda at this point, getting a pretty decent number on a two-time winner of this event. Then you can kind of start to dig down a little bit. Lexi Thompson, I don't know that I would touch her on a win bet. It just seems everything that's happened to her this summer is too catastrophic, but a top 10 at plus 250 does interest me. I think she can finish well in this event. And then Jin Young Ko is not playing, which is somewhat surprising. She's kind of in a bit of a slump right now. So I don't know that you necessarily would go after her anyway, given that her odds probably wouldn't have been that great. But a player I do like this week in a little bit of a longer range is Carlotta Segonda. She has three top 11 finishes in the last 5 years of this event. She has taken it deep here. All of those rounds in which she finishes inside the top 11, three of those 5 years of this event, all the rounds are in the 60s. All nine rounds. So she knows how to take it deep. She does have a 63 in there to open when she finished T6. She didn't finish it off necessarily, but she has two solid closing rounds in this tournament too, 67 and 65. She could be a factor this week that could be really interesting to people. I've talked about Amy Yang in this tournament in the past, I believe. Obviously not on this podcast. It didn't exist. But she's not in the field this week. And I've kind of surprised about that. I don't know what's going on there. Could be an injury situation. Also, another interesting one this week is Anna Nordqvist. She doesn't win often, but when she wins pretty convincingly. She's done well in this venue in the past. She has a second place finish and a T9 finish in the last 5 years. Certainly a player worth looking at this week, again, based on reputation and based on her capability to win tournaments in great fields. Then you've got Minji Lee at 16-1. She is probably the biggest horse for course play this week, other than Moira Jutanyagarn, who I'm not touching because she's just played poorly. But if you look at what Minji's done here in the last 5 years, other than Nasa, and again, you're just kind of getting Lydia and Nelly at crappy odds because of their place in the world ranking. But your real favorite should be Nasa and Minji. Minji in the last 5 years has three top six finishes. T6, T3, T2, just one round in the 70s. She's continued to play great in this tournament. She seems to have clearly found something that she likes here. So I think she's worth sticking with. Couple of deep shots worth considering. Two players. Ryan O'Toole, 60-1. Good track record in this tournament. Two top 15 finishes. T3, T6. So when she strikes well. The other one to look at is Stacey Lewis. I would not advise you to take Stacey Lewis to win this golf tournament, right? She hasn't played that well this year. She's got her mind on other things, being the Solheim Cup captain. But if you wanted to take a little bit of a flyer, just a quarter of a unit bet, 250-1 on her to win here. It's a big event for her because of her affiliation with the University of Arkansas going there. I'd love her at a top 10 at 12-1. I think that could be a really interesting wager. Is she going to do it? Not necessarily, but you can get some really interesting long odds on her to consider playing her this week. Other than that, I think you might be struggling to find some deep shots down in the field. Ashley Buhai, I continue to like. She's continued to play well. She's 80-1. If you did want to entertain Moira Jutanyagarn, 90-1, I would not, but maybe a top 10 bet is possible, or even a top 20 bet. Top 10 is a plus 600. Another player I would consider that's not necessarily a horse for course play is A-Lim Kim, who continues to play well. Same with Maja Stark. They're both 40-1. You're both getting about plus 320, plus 330 on a top 10. Both players I really, really like this week. And those are bets I would consider. So those are my initial thoughts. We'll wind that down or narrow that down for tomorrow's show. But I think your instant thought has to be Minji Lee, Nasa Hataoka at 14 and 16-1, and Carlotta Seganda. I think those are the three you pretty much got to play for the week. All right, finally, I want to get into the President's Cup. I'm not going to be a sicko and bet the Pure Insurance Championship. I just want to get a couple of things out there about the President's Cup, because you're not going to wager side. It's just not advantageous. The U.S. is minus 700 to win. Unless you think the internationals are going to pull off the upset of the century, I wouldn't even touch this. Why would you even bother? Draw is plus 1,600. I think that's not even worth considering. So unless you think somehow the internationals have something up their sleeve, and they could happen. You can't touch that. Singles day winner is interesting to me, though, because the U.S. could be so far ahead potentially, and I don't mean this in an arrogant way. I think they're going for the kill here. They could be so far ahead going into the final day. In fact, they may have won it. That is not a high possibility, but it is a distinct possibility given what happened in 2017, that the internationals plus 275 to win the singles day could just kind of be an element of pride thing for them. I think that's worth looking at. I would not necessarily bet that pre-flop, but that is something to look at maybe after day one, just to kind of get the tone of the situation. Because if the internationals come out and just get stomped, they could be so downtrodden that the next 2 days, Friday and Saturday, could be gross. Remember, it's Thursday to Sunday. It's not 3 days, 4 days. But they're going to play Sunday, regardless of whether the internationals are out of it or not. So I think they could have a rally day for that. I think you're really your best chance here is to start looking at top point scorers for either side. You have a bunch of different top point score numbers. Obviously, the Americans are kind of stacked, but even still, the favorite co-favorites for top point score are Xander Schauffele and Scottie Scheffler. They're plus 700, which I think is kind of interesting because I'm pretty sure Schauffele and Cantlay are going to play together. Cantlay is plus 750. So do you not really believe in Cantlay? I mean, you're going to pair those guys together. Thomas and Scheffler could go together. You've got Sam Burns at plus 1,000, Tony Finau plus 1,100. Before you get to an international player, you have 10 Americans who are ranked in the market more likely to get the most points. That means we're assuming there's going to be a total curb stop here, because the next the the players who have the best chance to score the most points, at least according to the market. Sungjae at 20, Hideki 22, Corey Connors 25, along with Tommy Kim and Adam Scott. I mean, those are your top five most likely candidates. I could see 25 on Tommy Kim could be really interesting. Because if you think this is going to be a stomp situation, but Tommy Kim can show out, that could be worth it to you to consider. But I think I would look at Schauffele and Cantlay, at least initially thinking about things, not knowing all the pairings yet. But we will come back to that. And then I think if you want to go in specifically into the international market, the top international point score, Tommy Kim is 7-1. I think that's an interesting play to look at. Adam Scott, 13-2, interesting look. Again, this is probably going to be maybe not his last, but it might be his last President's Cup. We don't know what he's going to decide to do with LIV. There's been rumors that he's going to go over to LIV. We'll see about all that. But even still, Adam Scott had to work pretty hard to get on this team, I think. I don't know. I think that's worth looking at. Mito Pereira, by the way, at 14-1 does interest me. But Taylor Pendrith is a horse for course for Quail Hollow. That is why he is on this team. Because you could have picked Ryan Fox otherwise. So 12-1 for him to be the top international point scorer. Maybe he just mashes the ball all around and he gets 2 points and that's good enough. I mean, if you're thinking about it that way, the top international point scorer may only need 2.5 points. It might work out like that. And Taylor Pendrith could be on the right side of a singles match and he could be on the right side of a four-ball match. If that's what you're thinking, and that's kind of my theory of the case about this, then I think Taylor Pendrith is worth a look at 12-1 along with Tom Kim at 7-1. That's it. Team to lead first is an interesting prop. We'll close on that. Team to lead first. So first points on the board. That's going to be USA minus 225, internationals plus 165. I may look at this. Maybe worth a quick look because sometimes this happens where you just get a mismatch out there and the wrong side wins. Or the unexpected side wins. The internationals are not going to be favored pretty much any of these matches, at least on Thursday. But you might get better number on the plus 165. They just happen to win the first match. Worth looking at there. But we'll come back to that tomorrow. We'll work through everything, set our cards, get ready to go, and hopefully we'll have a great winning week. Thanks so much for listening to the press. I appreciate it. If you have any comments for me, shoot me a DM, or you can reach me on Twitter. My handle is Ryan Ballingy. Follow Golf News Net on your favorite social media service, the handle Golf News Net. You can join Golf News Net, become a member for $30 a year, get access to all of our modeling tools and picks. That's at golfnewsnet.com. And we'll see you tomorrow for the next edition of The Press.